suffer hunger. But those who seek or pray to their Lord shall not lack any good thing. Somebody say, he hears my prayers.
He hears my prayers.
Okay, I can get better. He says in verse number 11, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is my part right here. He says in verse number 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Somebody say, he's watching me. Amen. He, not only is he watching you, and his ears are open to their cry. Do you hear that? He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those of us that's been washed in the blood of Jesus. Come on, I ain't going to sing you in the new members class, but lift your hand and say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
Say it again. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
So he says his eye is on every one of his children.
Amen.
Somebody say, he hears my prayers.
He hears my prayers.
All right, let's keep reading then. Look what he says in verse 17. The righteous, you know what we do? We pray or we cry out. And the Lord does what?
He hears
us. But he doesn't stop there. And he does what? Delivers us out of all of our trouble. He hears my prayers. See, that's why I got to pray, because I know I'm not praying to a God that's dead, to a Buddha, or to a God that's a statue, but I'm praying to a God that not only can hear my prayers, but he can answer every groan that I make. Okay, let's keep reading. It's good. He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Those of us who are humble enough to submit ourselves in prayer to God. Look what he says next verse. And save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. Read the rest when you get home. I ain't got time to go through that. But watch this. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. His ears are inclined toward your prayers. Now, the devil wants you to think that God's not paying attention to your life. But let me tell you, one day my wife and I were in the front in the kitchen. We had the television on, the microwave was going, everything. We were talking and a lot of noise was going on. And we were in the midst of a conversation. And she said, wait a minute, hold up. Is that Dylan crying in the back? Now, Dylan all the way on the other side of the house in the back in his room. But we way in the kitchen. And so she says, is that Dylan? I said, baby, that ain't nobody crying. Listen, no. She says, no, that's my baby crying. You know, and it's something about a mother who can hear, oh God, amidst all the confusion and amidst all the noise, they can hear that baby crying. And the Lord told me, he says, now if she's like that about her child, how do you think God is about his child? That God says, I'm in heaven, but every time my child opens their mouth, I can hear them when they're talking to me, and I can deliver them out of every groan. Somebody say, he hears my prayers. That's good news right there. That's good news. You're not talking in the space, but the Lord is hearing your prayers.
Amen.
So he'll lie to us through deceit concerning prayer. But number two, he'll burden us down with distractions.
Amen.
He'll distract us in order to break our line of communication. That he'll put so much on our schedule that we won't have time to pray. So much stuff going on that you know, we're trying to be Mr. and Mrs. Do-It-All that we don't even have time to communicate to God. That's what he'll do to you. Now watch out. That he'll make sure that your schedule is loaded from the time your feet hit the bed, come out of the bed, until the time you lay yourself back down. He'll burden you down with distractions. Boy, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. No, I ain't been spying on you. The Lord just been speaking to me. And he says, what you have to do is simplify your life. You have to begin to prioritize certain things and say, God, if I don't do anything else, you and I are going to have a conversation today.
Amen.
See, and this is how we grow weary in prayer. We grow weary when we think that God doesn't hear us. And then we grow weary when we're so busy doing all of these other things that we don't spend time in the presence of God. And then 3 and 6 and 12 months go by and now we're way out of the will of God because we're too distracted. Now the devil done messed up our house. He done messed up our mind. He done messed up our bodies. He done pulled us in areas we don't need to go in. Why? All because we got too distracted at the wheel.
Yeah.
So what he'll do is he'll lie to us concerning prayer. Now, some of us need to hear this now, because your anointing that's upon your life is contingent upon you staying connected to heaven. Yeah. That when you become disconnected from heaven, your anointing dries up. Yeah. It's not a fresh oil that flows upon you. So you can't get distracted. Touch your neighbor and say, don't get distracted. I'm serious. Touch somebody else. Say, don't get distracted. Hear me, leaders. Don't get distracted. Don't be so busy doing work that you don't spend time in personal prayer. Okay? Don't be so busy as leaders in what you do instead of your relationship with God. Okay, that's how it messes up. When you get so caught up in your work, your church work, like Mary and Martha, that she's so busy working that she can't spend time at the foot of Jesus. Man, don't get in that position, I'm telling you. Because what happened is you'll become bitter with church. You'll start hating church because you're working in church, but you don't know the Lord of the church. I can't be in 5 and 6 different ministries. I can't be here all. I got to spend some time before the Lord.
Right.
Deceit concerning prayer, burdening us down with distractions. Here it is, number 3. If he can't do that, he'll cause us to pray ineffective, repetitious, and vain prayers. That now, watch this. Oh, you hollering all around the house? You making all this noise, you repetitious, you doing all this stuff. And God says, man, please, you saying the same stuff to me every day. When you gonna come up with something new? And just because you pray real loud don't mean that God don't have no hearing problem. You just gonna be tired. That's it. That don't mean you're anointed because you pray real loud. Vain, repetitious, ineffective. That you just going through the motions because you're dry. Oh, y'all done been there. I done been there before. I ain't trying to front to you. I done been there before. Just dry. That you sitting there and then, you know, you just all over the place. Come on, somebody. That you just all over the place. I mean, you just it's the same stuff. Y'all remember that deacon? The one who used to pray the same prayer every Sunday? God, I come to you now. I'm at the feet of Jesus because that's the lowest place I want to be. I'm like an empty pitcher before a flowing fountain. Lord, just fill me up. I thank you this morning that my bed wasn't my cooling board. We know them prayers by heart.
Right, yes, sir.
You touched me with your finger of love. My eyes flew open and behold, I got a brand new day. It tear the church up, but God ain't listening to that.
Right.
And when this life down here is over, rock me, Jesus. In the cradle of your arms. Repetitious. Vain. And we talking about that boy prayed in that a day. Please. He said the same thing last week. Should have just played the tape. Amen. But the Lord is saying that's not the type of prayer I want from you. He says we got to talk on a daily basis. Golly. Can't be coming to me asking me what your sign is. Man, people don't say that no more. Go with me to James chapter 5. I believe I can illustrate this. Vain, repetitious stuff. That you're saying the same old thing. Now you're just dull in your spirit. You can't conjure up any type of fresh connection with God. And the devil says, I got you right where I want you now. Mm-hmm. Now I can eat your lunch. Oh, you praying in your mind. I prayed today. Yeah, sure, right. Mm-hmm. You sure did pray today. But how effective was the prayer? Look what he says here. That's not the verse that I want to go to. Let's go to James chapter number 5. That's my fault. I wrote the wrong thing down in my notes. James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. James 5 and 16. Watch what the Bible says here. Look what he says. This is an Amplified version. I love what it says here. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, and your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Here it is. Watch this part. The earnest, let the church say earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Did you see that? Let me read it to you in our normal New King James Version. It says, watch this. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, so if James had to say the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that must mean that if we deduce from that, that there's an ineffective prayer. And the ineffective prayer is the vain, babbling, repetitious prayers that we can sometimes pray when we're disconnected from God. That we're praying out of our mind and not from our spirit. Okay? And it stimulates our mind, but it does nothing for our spirit. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so when we get to this point, watch this. When we get to this point in life, we become weary. We'll be saying, no, this don't work. Yes, it does work. What happened is you'd have been hoodwinked. You'd have been bamboozled. You'd have been led astray because the devil has lied to you, number one, and told you that prayer doesn't work. Number two, he's distracted you now that you don't even spend time in prayer. And then number three, if you are praying, he's causing you to pray stuff that don't even make no sense. Look what Jesus says. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. That's good teaching right here. Matthew chapter number 26. You're going to get restored before you leave tonight. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter number 26. He's going to, I've been praying in my prayer time, even this morning. I said, God, let a fire take place in our heart, in our prayer life. And you can tell when a person is on fire in their prayer life. You can tell. It does something to their countenance. When you have an effective prayer, Matthew 26 and 41. Look what Jesus says here, 26 and 41. He gives us instructions. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter what? Lest you enter what? Temptation. Say it again. Temptation. Say it one more time. Temptation. That wasn't everybody. Everybody say it. He says, you got to watch and you got to pray, unless you're going to enter temptation, because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. This is how important he's saying prayer is. Prayer is essential to your survival. He says you got to watch and pray, because if you give your flesh an inch, it will take over.
Yes, sir.
Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Go there very quickly now. This is why every person, every day, before I put my feet on the floor, I'm saying good morning to God.
Amen.
Before I say good morning to Trenise, I'm saying good morning to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and 17, he says, pray without ceasing. That your life should be a continuous mode of prayer. Okay, put back up now Galatians 6 and 9. Who wants to go back there? Galatians 6 and 9. I'm almost done. We have victory through our prayer life. And if some of us in this room, and I know you're here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You may be in leadership position. You may hold high stakes in the church because people think you're just a super saint. But you're just as dry and crispy as you want to be in your spirit.
Come on now.
And the Lord is saying tonight you're going to get restored. I'm serious because I've been there. I've been there before. I know how it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. To leave church and don't have the power.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not about what you get when you come here. It's about what you bring to the table. What kind of fire do you add to the service? Are you bringing a soaked, drenched, watered down spirit into the service that's draining your neighbor's fire? See, but when we all been praying, the Bible says when they was in the temple and all of them was on one accord and their hearts was right, that it came through like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit just filled the place. Why? Because everybody came with their own fire. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have your fire tonight? I don't mind helping you out one Sunday out the month. But come on, man. Every Sunday, I shouldn't be having to light your fire. Every Sunday, spiritually, your neighbor shouldn't be looking at you saying you got a light. So let us all read this one more time. Ready, set, read. And let us not grow weary while doing good. One more time. Read that part. Ready, set, read. Continue. It will pay off.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay? Sometimes you got to press through the dry seasons. All right? It ain't all about what you feel. It's not all about, it's not about what you feel. We don't do what we do based on what we feel. We do it based on what we know.
Yeah.
Okay? You can never feel yourself into praying, but you always pray yourself into a feeling. Come on, somebody. That you can't feel yourself into praying. Sometimes I got to just pray myself into a feeling. All right, Pastor, so what do I do if I'm already there? What do I do if I've been dry since August? This is what the Lord gave me, and I prayed about this morning. This is what he said, principles for restoring your prayer life. Number one, you need some time of isolation. Let the church say isolation.
Isolation.
What's this? Isolation, meaning by yourself. Now, I ain't talking about take a vacation. Man, see, you heard Pastor say, I need to get off by myself. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you're seeking to restore your prayer life, you can't be trying to pray and you got 15, 20 other things going on around you. See, isolation is a time where you settle your mind. You settle your spirit. You settle your emotions. It's when you get by yourself and you don't say nothing. Because some of us, the biggest mistake we make in prayer is we talk too much.
Amen.
Babbling. No, sometimes you got to bring your emotions, your mind, your spirit, bring it all on one accord. Mm-hmm. Watch what Jesus tells us here in Matthew 6:6. Go there. Hallelujah. Let church say isolation.
Isolation.
Yes. Let it. No CD player, no cell phone, no iPod, no TV, no nothing. Just me by myself in a room, in a closet. In a bathroom, wherever you got to go to get away from everybody else. Look what he says in Matthew 6:6. Jesus says, but you, talking to his disciples, when you pray, go into the room. And when you have shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You see what he's saying? He's saying, watch this. You have to have some time of isolation. Get away from everything so you can hear God. Because it's hard to hear God when you got so many distractions in your life.
Amen.
So many competing forces going on. I know you're a queen or a king at multitasking, but God says, I need you, all of you, your mind, your spirit, your soul. I need isolation.